Red Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 68th Cannes Film Festival, and I'm joined by Chad McQueen, and we're going to be talking about this great documentary called Steve McQueen, The Man and Le Mans. Thanks very much for being with us.
No problem.
So just to introduce the documentary for our listeners, this documentary revolves around the 1971 production of the film Le Mans, which I remember watching. It's a very peculiar and exciting film, but it's very original in its own way.
How do I start with it? Well, listen, when the movie came out, I mean, there was word that there were some problems on it, and of course my dad got blamed for a lot of it because it wasn't a box office hit. Although I talked to the director, Lee, before I passed away, and he said, you know, on the same weekend that Dirty Harry opened, we did equal the box office, but Le Mans fell off. Back to your question, what my dad wanted to do, and I don't think he really cared what the studio heads thought or really the general public, if anybody wanted to go for a ride, they could, but it was really, and a little bit in Bullet and the Chasing, but it was really the first film where you feel immersed in the car. I mean, you actually, with the sound and the fenders and the speed and everything, and they were shooting at speeds every day, I mean, real speeds. So ultimately, that's what my dad's vision was. He wanted to take whoever saw the movie for a ride. Like he says in the movie, you know, a race car driver probably couldn't tell you why he likes driving race cars, but he could show you.
Yeah.
So
he wanted to achieve a level of authenticity.
Yes, and, you know, I like I said, I think my dad wanted to appease the drivers. He wanted the racing community to accept this film. And like Derek Bell says in the documentary, when he first saw it, he thought it was rubbish, you know, it wasn't that good. He said about 5 years ago, he went back and revisited the movie, and he said how brilliant it is. It really captured the golden era of sports car racing. And he says, now I watch it all the time, you know, and that happens. I go to a lot of races on both sides of the pond. To have a 17, 18-year-old kid that's in Formula 3 or Indy Lights on the North American side, if he finds out who I am, and he comes up and says, hey, I love Le Mans. It's one of the reasons, whatever the case may be, just for them to come up to me and make a point that they saw that picture and they love it, well, that's vindication for my dad doing the film. I mean, ultimately, his vision was right. And it does appeal to racers. I mean, it's become such a cult hit. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I guarantee they made that budget back twofold.
Yeah. And today it actually enjoys a huge following among race car drivers. So it's really stood the test of time. And that's very strange because at the time, like you said, it was deemed as almost a box office failure.
Right, a bomber. And my dad took a lot of heat because they knew he was at the helm. But, you know, listen, you know, another misconception people think also is that, you know, that was the end of my dad's career after Le Mans. But, he went on to do such great films after The Getaway, Papillon, Towering Inferno. I mean, it's just, he's got a good body of work. And so that's another thing this clears up. And the main thing is that it shows that his vision was correct. All the stubbornness, all the fighting to get his vision on cinema was ultimately right.
Exactly. As the title of this documentary implies, it's also about the man. And, well, let's start with the racing. Where do you think this passion came from?
I don't know. You know, I mean, listen, he grew up pretty much an orphan, broker. I mean, he came from the gutters. And probably to see somebody go by in a nice car, I mean, I'm sure that had something to do with it, but I don't know where it came from, but he was passionate about it, you know? And, you know, I mean, after Le Mans was finished, he stepped in a race car one other time, a Can-Am car in a Formula 5000 in Ontario, but he was done with race cars after that. It's typical of my dad when he was done with something, he moved on to the next thing. And the next thing after race cars was he started collecting antique motorcycles, like Harleys from 1909, 1911, all the way up until the 40s, late 40s, early 50s. So the common denominator here is that anything with a motor in it, my dad pretty much dug, you know. So
This is a passion that he handed down to you, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, people say, why did you get into racing? You know, I got pretty busted up a few years ago, but I wouldn't have changed anything. And it's just, you know, listen, you wouldn't be after, you know, if I was a plumber's son and I followed my dad into the trade, you know, it'd be the same kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to hear that a big part of how it started actually came from the set of Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you...
I mean, I was already racing motorcycles. My dad had me racing motorcycles. I started at age 9. And then I was off. We were in Le Mans for 4 months. When I came back, I started racing again. At 13, I won my class in the World Mini Grand Prix. So I was already into motorcycles. But after Le Mans, after getting a ride in the 917 Porsche, and everything that happened in that cockpit, I decided before I got out of the car, I'm going to drive a race car one day. So... yeah, fuck me up forever. Ooh, mess me up forever.
Okay. I think this has to be the final question, unfortunately. But revisiting all these things that happened on set to your father and to your family, was it kind of difficult? And what was your emotional journey?
Going back?
Yeah, going back.
You know, listen, I'm a father, and whenever there's stuff going on, you don't want your kids to be impacted negatively. So I never knew what was going on. I didn't know about, you know, how many chicks my dad was banging behind, you know. I didn't know about the financial problems that was going on with the filming, with the production, and I didn't hear all that stuff. So to me, it was one of the best summers ever, being around race cars and race drivers. It was bitching. It was great. So I had no qualms going back. I was happy to go back. But, you know, I first learned about what really went on during Le Mans in a book that a guy named Michael Kaiser wrote about 9-10 years ago called A French Kiss with Death. So there he kind of uncovered all the nuttiness and stuff. But listen, to me, it's a vindication that, you know, we're sitting here talking about it, you know, 40-something years later.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck, right?
Listen, thanks very much, and I wish you all the best in the documentary.
Hey, you're a good host, man. You got a good demeanor.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.